family's not singing anymore. Oh, you got a sore throat, yeah. Yeah, I sound like a bad. I sound like a bad one. Sound bad, really. all right. Good singing all the way around. Take your Bible. Is that it? Good. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 8. In the book of Luke chapter number 8. It's been a good day all the way around. We can say amen right now, go to the house, and it's been good to have been in the house of God. In the book of Luke, we're going to be looking there in the passage there, chapter number 8. If you find the place, about verse 15 is where we'll start. If you're able to stand, Luke chapter 8, about verse number 15. In the passage it says, "But that on the good ground are they which with an honest and a good heart have heard the word and keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, and neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how that ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good singing that we've heard, and we ask your blessings upon these that are sick. May you touch them, heal them, restore their health. We want to say thank you that we're able to present our petition before thee. Now bless this service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on some have it and some don't. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're sitting here, either you have it or you don't. If you don't have it, God help you to have it, get a hold of it, and that it gets a hold of you before that you draw your last breath. And the reason being is because without Him, there's no hope. Listen, religion cannot bring a person to heaven. Religion and good benevolent deeds cannot impress God one iota. They're but works of iniquity when you try to come any other way except the blood-bought way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a child of God tonight, and I trust you are, if you're not, you could be, but a child of God has Christ living on the inside of their innermost being. When we say Christ lives in the heart, we're not talking about in this heart vessel that's pumping. We're talking about the innermost being of man. We're talking about that goes beyond the comprehension of humanity, that God lives on the inside of you and I in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is just a Bible thing. Now, let me tell you, when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you begin to notice over there in Proverbs chapter number 20, about verse number 27, the Bible said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, let me tell you, when you got saved, God lit that candle. And let me tell you, it's been shining brighter and brighter until the day that Jesus Christ shall come again. But you've been saved by the grace of God. And let me tell you, others around about you can see it, and they can tell it, and they can know it. Now, if you've got the Spirit of God living in you, you can learn some things about God. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, at about verse number 11 and 12, you'll find out it's that the Spirit that is in man that the Spirit of God communes with, and that we learn something by. Fact is, look at the passage there just real quickly in 1 Corinthians. I'll give you a moment to find it. Chapter number 2, verse number 11. There's a passage there that we ought to look at. "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God." In other words, man is a trichotomy. Man's born, he's a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now the spirit is conscientious of God. And when God speaks by his spirit to our spirit, that's the channel of which he uses. The body is conscientious of the world and whatever's at it. And let me say to you that, if you will, that whenever we look at the divine order that God has given, is that you can learn a few things without the Spirit of God, but they'll only be fleshly, earthly things. You want to know something real about God, and you want to have the light of the gospel living on the inside of you, you're going to have to come to Christ as an empty-handed beggar. Now, here's what the gospel is. Jesus died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Jesus was buried in the tomb and rose again the third day to win victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. He did that in order for you and I to be saved, and that all the world that might want to be saved can come through him that blood-bought way. Now, you don't have to have it. If you'd rather not be saved and all that, you can live a pretty productive life. Look at all the millionaires and billionaires that are on TV. They don't have a clue what it means to be. I mean, they're on TV and fussing about Democrats, rightly so. Then they turn around and embrace a bunch of dykes, a bunch of queer women. You think God's not sick to his guts of that? I know he must be. I am, and I'm not that holy. The only holiness about me is who he is that lives on the inside of me. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you something, is that people need to be able to see the light of the gospel of Jesus shining in your life. And if you're a child of God, they do see him. Fact is, look in Luke chapter number 11. There's a passage there that we'll look at. The other gospels relate to it. But notice, if you will, in chapter number 11, the book of Luke, verse 33. No man, when he lighted a candle, put it in a secret place. No secret disciples. Neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. And therefore, when thine eye is single, I'm going to tell you what God does for you, is that when God saves your soul, he puts your eye and your heart upon the Christ. Not the crowd, but the Christ, you see. And as a result of that, when you got born into the family of God, your eye's on the Lord. Your eyes upon the word of the Lord. See that? I got to say to you that, if you will, is that there's no temptation taking you and I except it's common to man. But God is faithful, the Bible said. Wherewith temptation, he'll also make a way of escape. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that back over there in our text and here in this passage here, here's the big question. Is that when you look in Luke chapter number 11 in verse number 33 all the way down to verse number 36. Verse 36 said, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright and shining of a candle doeth give the light. Now I want you to watch this. You remember over there in the book of Revelation, don't lose that text there, by the way. But remember over there in Revelation chapter number 1, and it's in about verse number 20. He said, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in the right hand of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And that's not seven denominations. That's seven real churches of the Lord Jesus Christ that were established back in his day. We don't have time to deal with where they were, but there was one of them in Colossae, one in Hierapolis, one in Troas, so forth and so on and on. There were more than churches than just that. But let me tell you, the candlestick that God's talking about, when you got saved, he put you in the house of God, and no doubt, because that's the gate to heaven. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, I want to show you something real quickly, is that their religion tries to fabricate artificial light. They can't do it. They just can't do it. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're saved tonight, you've got the light. And not only are you born again and can see where you're going and where you've been, but it's an almighty light. It's not going to pass out. It's not going to go out. Let me tell you, it'll be lasting. It'll be real. It's lasting. It'll be seen of men. You know, if you're a child of God, that doesn't mean you got to preach to everybody up and down the road of life you see, unless God really tugs at your heart and opens up the door to be able to do so. You ought to be ready to, no doubt about that right there. But I said this morning, you can't force a person into the family of God. You can't just go ahead and go through a routine and get them born. You can get them religious, but you'll never get them born again until they come to Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar and see that they're a child of darkness and need to become a child of almighty light. Now, in this lesson here that you're looking at, there are those in chapter number 8 of the book of Luke, and about verse number 18, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. Here's what he said, "Take heed therefore how that you hear." Now watch that. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." I meet somebody every now and again, you know, that seem like they're real, and then it ends up and shows after a little bit of time they're not real at all. I got to say, what you look for and what you begin to see is that the Bible said, you better take heed how that you hear. Now, let me ask you this tonight. How was it that you heard? Now, over there in the book of Revelation, and we'll not take time to turn there, but in several times, at least not less than seven, the Bible over in Revelation says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You know how it was you heard? You may have come to church time after time after time. You might have been busy about everything except the mind of God and the words of the Lord. And all of a sudden, one day, God got a hold of your hearing and as a result made it personal unto you. That I'm not talking about your sister or your brother. I'm talking about you standing in the need of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that there are those that seem to have it, but they don't have it. Those that do have it, let me tell you, they have, and we thank God for that. Those that have not, we certainly are praying for them. But as you begin to look into it, you need to look at it and see, how was it that you heard? I can't tell you how many times that people have come to the house of God and they heard a noise, but they didn't hear the word from the Lord. They heard the preacher articulating words, but they didn't hear the Spirit of God that enlightened them and caused them to see themselves like God sees them. But when God does that, and he asks, "How did your hearing get to where you could hear it?" I'll tell you how it happened. Same way it did over at Lydia whenever God opened up her heart to receive the word of the Lord. Same way that it always has been, that when God got our attention, I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that here's how it happened, is that when you heard the gospel message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost of God unlocked your hearing so that you could hear your need and hear yourself and hear what God had for you. You know, that's the reason over in Romans chapter number 10, the Bible said, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, when you begin to read the scripture or hear the scriptures, let me tell you something. What about it? How is it that you're hearing? You know, the Bible said to be careful to hear about how you hear it, but there's another passage over in Mark that tells you about what you hear. A lot of people, you know, you go to thinking, "Hey, it's not going to bother me whatever I hear." Sure, it does. It's going to have an impact either for good or for bad, one or the other. In this lesson that you're looking at, is that you'd better take what God said to heart, and you better make sure that it applies to you. All right, number two is, and not only do we need people that can see the light, but we need to realize that no man lives or dies unto himself, the Bible said. In fact is, there's nothing done in secret. There's a lot of folks up and down the road, and they're looking everywhere and to everybody except the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here's what that means. Their eye is not single. The Bible said that if your eye be single, you'll be full of light. But see, if your eye is full of darkness and this and that, you'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Let me tell you what a single eye does. Has his eyes on Christ. Has their eyes on Christ. Has their eyes on the Lord. Has their eyes on the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something. The Bible teaches us there are no temptations taking us but such as common to man. But God is faithful that wherewith temptation will also make a way of escape. In the lesson that we're looking at, we ought to take heed to ourselves. And we ought to take heed that we boast not against the branches that God has made natural, namely Israel. But we ought to be thankful that you and I as Gentiles can be grafted in as olive branches. I want to say in closing tonight that, if you will, the Bible teaches us in this lesson here that we're talking about an incident. We're talking about a divine move that cannot be hidden. There's a passage over in the book of Matthew chapter 5. If you'd like to turn, you can. If not, you can listen. But over in Matthew chapter number 5, and the Bible said in verse number 14, there's a passage there. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, you can't hide it. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that a city that's sitting on a hill cannot be hid. You know, the light of the gospel of Jesus is so powerful. If you come to know him in the free pardon of sin, you can't hide it. You may try to hide it, but somebody's going to guess what you are and who you are. Amen. I was over there the other day in the hospital, you know, and I was looking at, and I don't know who the woman was, an older woman. I say old because she looked like she was older than I am. And they had a New Testament that was there that was part Spanish, and I don't know how to speak Spanish, as you well know. But I picked it up, and anyhow, and so the comment was made there, and about what that was. It's a Bible, a New Testament in Spanish. I'm going to learn some Spanish Bible reading while I'm here. Now, the old woman said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, I'm what's left of one. She said, I could tell it by the way you talk. I could tell it when I saw you. And by the way, I was incognito. I wasn't dressed up in these funeral clothes and all that stuff. But let me say to you that, if you will, make no mistake about it. You're a child of the King. You know him in the free pardon of sin. You're walking with him and talking with him and fellowshipping with him. You can't hide that. You can't hide that. In closing tonight, I want to say to you, the Bible very plainly says, to him that hath shall be given. And to him that hath not shall be taken, even that which he seeming to have. I want to say to you over there in the book of Acts, and we're going to close in chapter number 28, and about verse number 27, there's a passage that we're looking at, and we're talking about over there, let's see here, in the book of Acts, and chapter number 28, in that passage there, and it's about verse number 27. All right, in the book of Acts, chapter number 28, and about verse 27. Here's what he says in the passage. He says, therefore, the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Well, God's noticing our ears, isn't he? Their eyes have they closed. God's looking at our eyes to see if it's open to hear and see what God said. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. And be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. You know, he told Israel, you know, I would speak to you, but you closed your ears. I would let you be able to know what I'm about to give unto the Gentiles, but you closed your eyes to it. As a result, I'm going to go ahead and go to them. Now, I will tell you, God is no man's debtor. God absolutely owes us nothing whatsoever. And make no mistake about it, salvation's for free to everyone that'll receive it, and for everlasting to those that do. And if you die in the Lord, you'll be forever with the Lord. If you die without the Lord, you'll be forever without the Lord. And it won't matter. And of course, you know, here's the deal, is that I've been to many a funeral in days gone by. And let me tell you something, whether you're in or out or up or down or crossways, sideways, or whatever it is, I don't care how clever that you've been, how bold you've been, I don't care how much you have or how little that you made, there's not anybody in all these years that I have remembered ever bragging on and glad that their loved one died without Christ. It's just not there. In fact is, I've seen people that died that were drunkards, and you could still smell it a few days out of their pores, coming out of their skin, it stunk so bad. And even those kind of people want their loved one to be in heaven. They're hoping they can use the lodge, they're hoping they can use laughter, good benevolence, or, you know, I'll tell you one thing, preacher, that person there would give you the shirt off their back. Well, they're going to go to hell without shirts is what they're going to do. Yes. See? It's not a matter of how good or how bad or how benevolent that a person is. All that's going to matter is what you've done with Christ. Do you have Christ in your heart and your life? If you have Christ in your heart, then He'll give you more. If you don't have Christ, He'll take away that which you even seem to have had. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank You for loving us. Saving grace.